But we'd be in Romans 2, and we were singing this song, and it says, and we were singing in Calvary, and it's talking about the burden. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. I really like that part. I was listening to a story about this man. He done a lot for the Lord after he got saved, but he was mean to his wife. I mean, just mean to his wife, super mean to her. And she would try to tell him about the Lord, and he said, "I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that junk and that garbage," and so to speak, you know. So she got a Bible from somebody, and she said, I want you to have this Bible." And he got so mad about it, he went out there and he chopped wood. He went out there and got his axe and chopped that Bible in half. And he said, "I'll tell you what," he said, "you say that Bible says that we got everything's half between us." He said, "Here's your half and here's my half." And he wouldn't talk to her, and she prayed. She'd get down on her knees and pray and say, "God, save my husband. And I tell you, y'all, we're sitting here by love. It's a blessing to be able to worship with folks you love. Everybody don't have this same thing. And it's just such a blessing to have unity. So anyway, it got real cold outside one day, and his wife was gone, and he couldn't find anything to read in the house. So he went in there in his closet where he had thrown his half, and he opened up to Luke, and it just happened to be opened up to the prodigal son. But he only had half the story. So he read that. He said, "I've got to find out what happens to this boy. I've got to find out." He couldn't find. So he was going to slip in his wife's room and kind of find that thing and maybe find the other half of the story. He couldn't find it. It was just eating at him. He had to know whether the son, whether he got right with the father or what. So finally he jumped over his pride. Whenever she got in, he said, "I need that other half. I need to know what happened on this story." So, of course, she ran in there and got it. And, man, he started crying. And that story got to him. And he trusted Jesus Christ. He said, "I want to know how to be saved." He trusted Jesus Christ. And, you know, from that moment on, he treated his wife like a queen. And tried for the rest of his life to love the Lord and love her. And man, you're talking about every now and then you get that happy ending like that. But the happy ending comes when people will let their burden go and put and cast their burden on the Lord. Yes, right. There's a passage over there. I know we're talking about Romans, but for some reason that burden. And I open the Bible right to it. So I guess we need to hold Romans there. Look at 1 Peter 5. I want to show you something pretty neat. I'm kind of thinking about in the future looking at something here on this regard. But I think this is something here that a lot of times, y'all, what's helping me with reading the Bible, as I read the Bible more and more and more, I'm realizing so many things I miss because I forget to take that verse in the context that is in. A lot of times I'll just jump down, even though I'm reading the chapter, I'll jump down and say, "Well, you know, that's a pretty good thing in that verse right there." But I will forget what he's been talking about and what he's leading up to. A lot of times I just take each verse almost like they stand on their own. Does that make any sense? Sometimes I do. So I miss things in there. Now, talking about casting your burdens on the Lord, watch 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse number 7. It says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And I'll stop right there. I can't tell you how. How wonderful. You know, and just kind of pondered on that. You know, cast my care on him. I know he cares. And that's wonderful. That's a good thing. That will apply to us daily because we do need to cast our care on. But watch this, though. "Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." That's a bad thing. Now look at verse 9. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren." So it's happening to other people too. You're not the only one things are happening to that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. After you suffer a while. Watch this. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, you know what that implies? If casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then he talks about the things you suffer. You know what it's implying? A lot of times we don't go through the suffering the way we should, and we don't handle it the way we should because we hadn't cast our care on him. Well, what happens is the Bible says lay aside every weight and the sin. Some things are just weight, and it's weighting us down, and we hadn't cast it on the Lord and let the Lord handle it. So you know what happens? We go through trials, and we wonder why we act the way we do in trial, and we don't handle it the way we should. It's because we, before all these sufferings took place, he said, now cast your care. Why? Because your adversary, the devil's out there, and you've got sufferings coming, and these sufferings are for a purpose to establish, strengthen, and settle you. So you need to make sure you cast your cares on the Lord. Otherwise, look, you're going through all these things, trying to tote all these things around, and the Lord's there to take your burden. And y'all, I'll tell you something, little things like that right there, I don't know if that, and why we went on that, I don't know. But I'm telling you, this world is so burdened down.
That's right, brother.
And y'all, I'll tell you something, if we just cast it on the Lord, the Lord can handle anything we throw at him. And you know what I like about this? This one thing about prayer. You're not going to tell the Lord anything he don't already know. You're not going to surprise him.
No, sir.
You know, like sometimes when somebody... Look, I've had people tell me things before, and I think, I didn't know that. Because I'm human.
Right.
But the Lord, when you tell him something, he says, well, I already knew that, but I'm glad you brought it to me. Now you know I know about it, and we're going to work through it together. We're going to get through it together. And y'all, that's a blessing, man. I thank God. We go back to run. I thank God we've got a God that loves us, and he knows everything. He knew, just think about this. He knew every little sin that you were going to commit before you were even born, and still went to the cross for you. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's love. That's love. Knowing every one of us in here knows that we do things that if every one of us knew, we wouldn't even want to be sitting in the same room together. That's how sinful. Why? Because Paul said this vile body. Man, I'm telling you, man, thank God for the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, he's going to go into some things here in Romans 2 that has to do with judgment. And he's addressing Gentiles here. And so he's addressing Gentiles and Jews later around verse 17. But these are some really instructive things for us as we read about this. So considering the fact that he said about all these things that they did in chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 2 says, therefore. Now if you see a therefore, just see what it's there for. All right, it's there for. Why? Because of all these things we talked about last time. Thou art inexcusable, old man. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so-and-so. You know how I tell y'all, I hear this, and I know. I hope I don't make y'all tired of this, because I probably mention it every time I preach. But y'all, everybody can always point out, have you ever noticed, though, somebody can always point out something that somebody else is doing, and they really know, I know them because I know what they do. You're doing the same thing. You're just doing it in a different way. You see, you got to realize, I'm not the standard, you're not the standard, Christ is the standard. Now look, we can all find someone else and say, they're not doing it the way I would do it. And we can all look good in that respect. But if you judge yourself according to the perfect standard, Jesus Christ, we're all going to look bad and we're all going to be miserable.
Right.
And see, you're inexcusable. There's no excuse.
No.
Well, because we're all doing the same thing. Now, I want to say this right here. We are to judge. But there's a right kind of judgment.
Yes.
Now, we're in this world now, and they say, don't judge me. Well, there's a right kind and a wrong kind of judgment. We're not supposed to judge hypocritically. We're not supposed to judge people when we're doing the same thing.
Right.
Now, let me show you something. Hold your place there and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Whenever we go preaching on the street, one of the first things we hear, like, probably every time you ever go out and do public ministry, you're going to hear, they're going to say, well, you're judging me. Well, you're judging me. You know, the thing is, everybody's judging. And judgment is to tell a difference between, for one thing, look, if somebody can't judge between a green light and a red light, I don't believe they ought to be driving.
That's right.
And you can't judge between arsenic and milk. You ought not be operating. But you've got to make judgments every day in life, but it can't be hypocritical judgment. And so here's one of your things on this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Look at that. So there's no, yet he himself is judged of no man. Christ is the real judge. But you better judge all things, and the standard is by Christ and his word. Why? Because look here, ultimately God's going to be the judge. A man can't really judge me as far as if I'm going to be able to go to heaven or hell. But as far as you judging someone and saying, hey, I need to be around that person, or I don't need to be around that person. All right, there's some people you can judge in that respect. Look now at Romans chapter 14. And I won't read all of these. But you have to, if you want to go home and read verses 1 through 13, it's talking about different ways of judgment. And look at 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Y'all, we don't need to be just judging people on petty matters, and don't judge a brother as unsaved on a minor doctrinal point, is what he's trying to say. Don't say, well, that guy's unsaved because he don't believe like I do on certain respect. Y'all, there's a lot of people don't believe like we do, but that don't mean they're lost. But now, if somebody's lost, this is how you can tell if somebody's lost, if they hadn't trusted Christ. Other than that, y'all, it's not up to us to sit here. This is one of the most dangerous things going on today. If somebody that literally says that I can tell if so-and-so saved or so-and-so, that's not our job. If somebody says that they've trusted Christ, that's between them and the Lord. It's not me to sit here and say, well, they really ain't saved or so-and-so. Y'all, every one of us, there's always somebody out there living a more holy life than you are. And if they judge you by just human standard, they could say, well, you're lost because you're doing something. What we've got to get to is be a Christian in judgment, because if we don't, we're going to start judging things the wrong way. And you know what happened? We'll get to where our standard isn't right, and then our filter will be wrong, and then we're judging everything wrong. And then guess what happened? We'll be like the Sadducees and Pharisees, and we're right and everybody's wrong. Y'all, we're going to be right on points and wrong on points. Because there's a lot of this Bible right here we hadn't been exposed to. You really get to studying this Bible, and you'll find out how much of it that you just hadn't looked at real close. I tell you, every time I read through this thing, I said, I missed that. I mean, it's just amazing. Now, let me show you a couple things about judgment here. I want to show you, first of all, that on the matter of judgment, you got to be real careful, because it's talking about judging another because you're doing the same thing. A person attributes his own character to other persons and things oftentimes. A lot of times you can pick out a liar. You can pick out when somebody's lying because you've lied before. You can pick out when somebody's done something because you've done that same thing. You have to be real careful about these matters. I'm going to give you two verses on this. Look at Proverbs 27. I think I've showed you this before, but it's good to go through it again. You know what stuff like this will do? Stuff like this will help you to have grace with people. Y'all, we're so hard on others and so easy on ourselves. And we got to realize a lot of times we will not like somebody before we ever even get to know them, because you see a quality in there. You've got qualities you don't like about yourself, and you'll see that quality in somebody else, and the only reason you know they have it is because you have it. Mm-hmm. And you say, I just don't like them. Well, how come? Well, I just don't. You got any reason? I can just don't like them. And y'all, we got to be careful about that stuff. Maybe that's somebody God wants us to witness to. If you're in Proverbs, look at 27. Look at verse number 19. As this, the Lord teaches with like and as in water, face answers to face. So the heart of man to man. Now, if you'll notice in that verse right there, we see ourselves reflected in other people. As in water, face answers to face. Just like you look down and see your reflection in that water there. A lot of times, as in water, face answers to face. You look down there and you see yourself reflected in somebody else oftentimes. And y'all, we got to be real careful. Instead of using it and saying, I just don't like it, we need to use it and say, hey, I do those things too. Maybe I can help them. Maybe I can pray for them. Why is that? I'll show you one. We do all the time. Watch this Bible have our number here. Every one of us. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Man, I remember one time. I won't never forget. I was aggravated about something. It's been years ago. I worked at the Healthplex at New Omni. And I had a little small, I don't know what I have done with that Bible, but I had it somewhere. But I had a small Bible. It had Old and New Testament. But that thing would fit just right in my pocket. And I got a little aggravated about something. And I'll tell you what it was. I was in one room over here. And you know sometimes if a fan's on or something, somebody be talking loud to talk over that fan. And you can hear, but they can't know because they're talking so loud. And I heard somebody talking about me, and boy, it made me mad. So I said, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to go in here and sit down, and I'm going to read my Bible. And Ecclesiastes, I've always been fascinated by Ecclesiastes. So I turned that, and I'll tell you something, this Bible will speak to you. So now look, I opened up to 7, and I started reading a little while, And look down after I've been reading probably a minute or so. Look down what I read. Look at verse 20. We'll start there. Here's what started stinging me. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I'm starting to get to it. Now watch 21. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. I said, oh, man. You know what he's saying? Why are you so mad that you heard somebody talking bad about you when you know you've talked bad about others? Mm-hmm. Over here in Romans, he said, you're unexcusable. He said, for thou condemnest thyself. What he's saying is because you're saying I can point out those flaws and I can point out those flaws and other, and I can see that others are doing this, that, and other. He said, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing. What he's saying is, water as in water, face into the face. You can notice things because you've done the same thing. When you're judging them, you're knowing that you've done like things there, and that's how you're able to pick them out. So you're saying they're guilty because you're saying they're guilty. You're guilty. How do you know? Because you know. Yeah. Does that make? I hope it's getting clear. What I'm telling you is, oftentimes we're picking things out because we've done it in the past before. Thank God for forgiveness, isn't that right? Man, thank God He's forgiven. Thank God He's forgiven me for things I've done in the past, and He's able to overlook. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. It's able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I thank God He don't judge like we do. Why? Because look here, you can get in Christ Jesus and the Father will judge you according to Christ and not according to your sins. That's why we preach Jesus, preach Jesus, preach Jesus. Why? I want to be judged by a perfect, righteous standard, and that's Jesus Christ. I thank God I'm covered in the blood. Why? Because if the Father judged me apart from anything else other than Christ, I'd be in a mess. I would be in a mess, man. And all of us would. So, he's saying over here, he said, thou doest the same things. What are you talking about judging that? Psychologists call this projection. It's one experiences one's outer world in terms of one's inner world. That's why you have to make sure that you stay close to the Lord, stay close to the Lord. You know why? Because you can get paranoid. You know what happened to Saul? Saul started eyeing David. He started getting jealous of David. And the Bible said whenever they sang that song, they sang, David has slain his, or Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And the Bible said Saul eyed him from that day. And you know what happened? Because of that, David wasn't even out to get Saul. He started projecting something on David that David didn't even have toward him because his judgment was wrong. He was the one that had all those thoughts, not David. That's why we have to be real careful. Why? We'll start to judge that outer world based on what's on the inside.
That's right. Well,
our judgment will be wrong. We'll start to judge it. Why? Because that's in our heart. We'll say, oh, so-and-so must be talking bad about me behind my back. Guess what's happened? They're probably not doing it. It's because that's what you would do behind their back. Why? That's why we have to ask God, help me, help me, help me, help me be close to you. Why? Because we'll start thinking other people are doing things that we would do in that situation. Why? Because we're looking through the eyes of Saul, through a paranoid person.
Right.
And you know what Saul did? Saul started listening to other voices. When you get out of fellowship with the Lord, you stop listening to the Lord and you start listening to other things. Like Saul did and like Eve did. That's dangerous.
That's right.
So we got to be careful and judge right. Now here's another thing too. I want you to see too... that you have to avoid some people, and I won't make you turn there, but because we got to get on the next verse. But if you want to mark down Romans chapter number 16, verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." But look, some people. A lot of people are saved and they get caught up in false doctrine. The Bible don't say go out and tell everybody the law. The Bible just says avoid them. And you know what we can do? A lot of times you can pray for them and sometimes they'll get back right and they'll come back. But the main thing is don't let them corrupt you. Why? Because false doctrine can really mess your mind up. That's why, y'all, I feel sorry for people who, if they can read, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then they go around and they let somebody teach them, they can lose their salvation. Y'all, I tell you something, that puts you on shaky ground. Shaky ground. I like y'all to know that, look here, that Bible says you're sealed, and it's good to know that. Why? To have confidence in the Lord and not be running around thinking, oh man, I'm going to lose my salvation. Let me tell you what happens. I've seen it happen several times now. People give up and they say, well, I can't do it anyway. I'm just going to get out here and do whatever. And y'all, that promotes a bad mentality.
That's right.
So we're confident in the Lord and what He can do. All right, now here's another thing. Back to Romans 2. Look at verse number 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. God's gonna judge the truth on those things. And don't you worry about it. God will judge right. Verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Look how he's preaching. Man, he's telling them. He said, you think you're doing the same thing, you're going to escape the judgment of God? Man, I tell you, that's some preaching right there. Or, despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? There's a lot of folks say, I tell you what, God needs to go ahead and judge them. I wish God would do something to them because of so-and-so. He said, you're doing the same things. He said, you're despising the long-suffering and the forbearance of God. God was merciful to you and long-suffering, gave you a chance. Aren't you glad you got saved? Y'all, that's like this world and stuff. I know the Lord could come back any minute. But at the same time, I don't want to see, you know, a lot of people make out like they're ready for America to be destroyed and all this type of stuff. Look here, man. That's going to be a sad day.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be a sad day. I'll tell you something. When this country falls, it's going to be sad. And man, there's going to be a lot of people who their lives are destroyed and things like that. We don't want to see that. We want to see people come to be saved. I mean, why? Because why? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Y'all, I'll tell you something. Some of the best servants of the Lord are people who've looked back and saw how God could have let them fall and could have let them die and could have let them, things just could have been way more awful than what they were. And they look back and see how good God was to them and say, man, I want to serve God because He was so good to me.
That's right.
And man, He sent His only begotten Son. They get to thinking about that thing, and the goodness of God is what makes you want to serve. Look, yes, we realize He's a holy, righteous God and He's able to throw you in hell. But man, I tell you what makes you want to serve. The fact that He could have thrown you in hell and He didn't even have to send His Son and He done that, y'all, that makes you want to serve Him all the better. Why? Because not only is He holy and righteous and He's able to execute judgment, but man, even though He's able to, He'll give you a way out. And I tell you something, man, the gospel is simple. We're living in a time where people have got the gospel so muddied up, and they've made it almost like it's hard. Look, Christ did the hard part. Man, isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
It ought to lead us to repentance and say, God, I just cast myself at your mercy. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I tell you something. If you come to him like that right there, he'll give you the mercy.
Mm-hmm.
People who are looking for mercy find mercy.
Yes, he does.
You read over there in the gospel, every one of those people who came to him with a pure heart wanting mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ, they got it. They got it. And look at this as well. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You know what he's doing? A lot of people are treasuring up wrath. Treasuring, instead of laying up treasures in heaven, they're laying up treasures of wrath. Why? Let me tell you this right here. That conscience, and we'll go over here in a little bit if we ever get to verse 15, but that conscience gets defiled, and every time they turn down a chance to the gospel, they treasure up a little bit more wrath and a little bit more wrath and a little bit more. It just gets worse and worse and worse on them. Y'all, if people are already condemned, John 3 verse 18 says they're already condemned that they don't trust Jesus Christ. That's why they don't have no trial or anything. They just go straight to hell when they die without Christ. But why in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible said they're judged for the works to see what level, how much treasured up wrath have they treasured up. Some people, let me tell you something, those popes that die and go to hell, you think they're going to get worse judgment than some people that were actually good on this earth and just went to hell. Now, I'll tell you something, these people who've led people to a water gospel, and they knew better like they do, and they lead these people to hell knowing what they're doing, I'll tell you something, man, they're treasuring up wrath, treasuring it up. It says, impenitent heart. Hold your place there, and I'll show you a good cross reference on that. Look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We're living in a time now when people actually worship that Pope, man. It's just so sad. If you read church history, you'll find out that Roman Catholic Church has burned Christians. They would drown them. They would burn their Bibles, burn their houses down with the children in there. I tell you, some of the most wretched stuff you've ever seen in your life. And I tell you something, you talk about treasuring up wrath. My. And you know what? The thing is you imagine standing there before God having burned up somebody's Bible where they could have got the truth, the people out. Man, I tell you, that's something. Impenitent heart. Look at Luke 23. Look at verse number 39. It says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. That's the impenitent thief right there. He didn't repent. He just thought he didn't realize he deserved being there. But watch this, verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. Look, he realized he was a sinner. For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He recognized Jesus was the Christ. Why? How do you know? Because he said he realized he had a kingdom. Y'all, that's the difference between somebody who had a repentant heart and somebody who did. One guy didn't even realize, didn't even think he even belonged on the cross. That's a bad thing. Let's see here. I get confused. What time we let out here? Alright, I was thinking Wednesday night. Okay. Alright, I'm making sure. Alright, now look at this. So the hardness, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you know what happens? People get their heart hardened. Way before God ever hardened, we're going to study it in detail when we get to Romans 9. Before God hardened Pharaoh's heart, he hardened his own heart. You know what happens to people? They harden their heart and harden their heart and harden their heart. And you know what the Bible teaches? If you want to lie, 1 Kings 22, God will allow you to have it. Why? Because he's not going to force you. And so if you want to lie, he will allow you to have. That's like those people over there we talked about in the tribulation. They want that lie. Why? They didn't receive the love of the truth. They didn't want the truth. So guess what? God's just allowing them to have what they want. God loves you enough. He's not going to force you, not puppets on a string. And He loves you enough if you want to tell Him, no, not thy will be done, Lord, but my will be done. You know what's going to happen one of these days? And they're going to stand before a loving God, and God's going to say, not my will be done, because I was not willing that any should perish, but thy will be done. And because of their own free will, they will have sent their own self to hell. Nobody's going to be able to blame God for them going to hell. If somebody goes, it's going to be because they chose to go. Now, we'll see this right here. Look at verse number 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now, you got a situation here where you've got deeds. Now, in the Old Testament, we have a different setup. But I want to show you how this applies to us now and how it will apply later. Turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Those Gentiles there, we'll find out here in a little while, could have went by their conscience. And the Jews had to go by the law. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse number 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, we went over this in Sunday school this morning, but once you're saved, you at the judgment seat of Christ, your sins won't come into question. It'll be what was done in your body. Why? Because look here. The Bible says you died. That's why we're baptized. It's a picture of death, burial, and resurrection. Your body is dead. Judicially speaking, the Lord sees your body is dead. But guess what? You can yield the members of this body and let the Holy Spirit work life as far as whatever He does in and through you is considered as something living, it's worthwhile, and it's lasting. And that's a good deed. Why? Because we have no goodness of our own. But Christ went about doing good. God is called good. So guess what? If we do something by yielding to the Lord, that is a good deed. And guess what He'll do? He'll reckon that thing and you'll actually have something good at the judgment. But anything we do with this body right here of our own violation, and we do it through the flesh, that is a bad deed. And one of these days here, we're going to render, God's going to render to every man. Look, even the lost people are going to speak for what they did in the body. Why? Because everything a lost person can do something. The Bible said the plowing of the wicked is sin. No matter how many good deeds they do, none of it's going to count. Why? Because all of it was done by the flesh. That's terrible, man. That is terrible. But look here, as far as with us, at the judgment seat of Christ, you know what we can do? If we will yield ourselves to the Lord, every little small thing that we do for the Lord, I'm talking about thoughts and anything, you do those things for the Lord, He's going to count them for you one day, and He'll reckon those things as good. That's why, y'all, we have to yield our thought life to the Lord, yield our deeds to the Lord and things like that. Just try to let every act that you do during the day be something of worship. You know that you can relax in the Lord. So, hey, the Lord gave me this time of relaxation right here. Elijah, he gave up. When Elijah was tired, you know what was wrong with Elijah? He had just killed 400 prophets of Baal over there, and he was tired. You start making bad decisions whenever you get tired, and guess what the Lord prescribed for him? Some rest. 40 days of rest. He said, man, you need to get down there and rest. Y'all, sometimes you just gotta rest sometimes. Some people say, they need to be doing oh so-and-so. Well, it's like Sister Phyllis tonight. She's rested. She needs that rest. There's nothing wrong with that. You can actually rest in the Lord and know, hey, this is an activity here the Lord knows I need to do. And the Lord will reckon that thing good. But you're going to, one of these days, we're going to render. Look at verse number 7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, in honor, in immortality, eternal life. Now, back then, the Gentiles. See, I need to back up a little bit because there's a colon there. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? Seven verse 7 and verse 8 are two different things. Number one, he said, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. What he's saying is like the Gentiles, look, if they will be patient and continue in well-doing and they're seeking for these things and seeking for eternal life, God will give it to them. I just read a story earlier today in between times of church. This man lived in a remote part of Africa. And I love to read about tracks. I like to find out how track. Somehow this guy got a track, and I don't know how he got it. And the thing is, the guy, whenever he wrote the letter to the guy, even the guy who wrote the track don't know how it got there. But somehow it got there. And he found this thing on the ground down there, and it had the plan of salvation on it, the gospel on it, and the guy trusted Christ, found the address, and he said something to the effect, and I'll tell you something there, that letter is just all mumbled up, and he said, you Jesus man, me Jesus man now. Me trust Christ, need some Bible. And I mean, that's about all he knew how to, but he said, you Jesus man, me Jesus man now. You know? And the thing is, y'all, what I'm saying is, people, we wonder, how can, what about the heathen over here? What about these folks way out here? If they're seeking, the Bible says, in patient continuance and well-doing, these Gentiles, if they will seek honor, a glory and honor, immortality, eternal life, God will make sure they get the gospel. Why? I've got time and time and time again. I've got the stuff at the house where these people out way out in remote islands, they're seeking. We know that there's a God somewhere. We know that there's a way to heaven. We don't know how to get there. And all of a sudden, there'll be a prayer meeting somewhere, or there'll be a revival somewhere, or sometimes it's Sunday morning somewhere, and somebody all of a sudden get a burden. They say, look, they get up and they say, look, God's got a burden on my heart, and I just feel like I need to go to Fiji or something like that. And this happens. And why? I don't know why I need to go there. God has got that place on my mind and my heart. And they go there and get the gospel there. And the people say, we've been praying for you for years. Why? We've got a God big enough that's able to get the gospel there. Why? Because by number one, render everyone according to his deed. Number one, verse 7, to those who by patient and continuance, well, they're being patient about it. They're seeking for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. You say, you got a biblical example? All kinds of them. The best ones in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, the Bible says he was a devout man. And he was in prayers and everything else. And you know what happened? God sent Simon Peter, and he said, I want you to go down there and witness to the Gentiles. And Simon Peter said, see, this is before he got Pauline revelation. Peter said, hold on, what are you talking about? Gentile. He said, I don't need anything unclean. He didn't even realize that the law wasn't even in effect anymore, because he didn't even want to eat anything unclean. The Lord lowers these unclean animals down on the sheet. And Simon Peter said, I don't eat anything unclean. I'm not transgressing the law. What you talking about? The Lord said, look, I've cleaned it. Don't call it uncommon. He was showing him, look, the Gentiles are clean to me. I want you to go to the Gentiles now. There's a switch. So the stoning of Stephen there, and the Lord's having to, he had just saved the Apostle Paul in the previous chapter, and he said, look, you're going to meet a man later on. He'll explain it all to you. Just go down there and tell that Gentile how to get saved. And y'all, he goes down there and he gets saved, and it's completely different in Acts chapter 2, verse 30. He don't even mention Jesus' name, baptism. The Bible said the Holy Spirit fell on them way before the Bible said they believed, and as soon as they believed, they got the Holy Spirit. Then they got baptized. That's what you use. Why? Because this verse teaches you right here. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing, they're doing good, they're being patient, they're continuing, they're seeking for glory and honor and immortality eternal. They know it's something out there, and God sends it to them. Now, so God's going to render to every man according to his deed. You know what that shows you? Somebody's trying to do right, God will make sure they get what they need. But here's the other token. Verse 8. But unto them that are contentious. Some people just they just want to have a contention. It says, and do not obey the truth. You know what's going on? This same thing that happened then is about to happen again. The Bible told, we talked about in 2 Thessalonians, the Bible said they're not going to obey, they're not going to receive the love of the truth. Okay. They don't want to obey. Y'all, they don't want the truth. Well, they don't confuse me with the facts, man. You know what? A lot of people, y'all, we think, how come that person don't do this? And you wonder about, they don't want it. They don't want the truth. Why? Because they love their sin and they want to stay in that thing. They're like a pig just wallowing in the mud. And look, they got to get to the place where they want the Lord, and the Lord knows the heart. And the Lord knows, hey, they want me, I'm going to make sure they get me. Because it says in verse 8, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Watch what's coming to them. Not glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. It says this right here is coming to them. It says indignation. I don't want the Lord being indignant toward me. And wrath is coming. Y'all, the tribulation is called the wrath of God, but hell is called the wrath of God. Y'all, wrath is coming to them. Y'all, it scares me. Man, I have seen men on this earth get mad before and scare me. But you've never seen anything like the wrath of God. You've never seen these people who won't obey the truth. They've got wrath. The Bible says tribulation. You talking about tribulation. And anguish. That's a bad word right there, man. I mean, that's tough. The anguish, man, it's going to be forever. It says, upon every soul. Why? Their soul is going to burn in hell. Soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first. Why? Because the gospel came to them first. And also of the Gentile. He says it's going to come to whichever one of them does it. What he's saying, they're going to get their deeds, whether they're trying to do right, verse 7, God will make sure they get it, but unto them that are contentious and do all those things, they're not going to get the truth. Now you know, people say, well, what about them over there? They hadn't been saved. I'm telling you why. Because I know people who've went to those lands over there, and you think, well, those good folks down there, let me tell you something. Man, them people down there, they all need the Lord, but they're dancing around these fires and doing all that. They do terrible things down there, just like we do here in America. They do the same thing over there. The ones who get to God, who want the gospel, God is able to get it to them. And y'all, don't ever let somebody try to trip you up and say, well, what about the heathen? You can show them this verse right here and say God's able to get the gospel to them if they want the gospel. And I've got stuff at the house. Time and time and time, God is faithful and He's able to get it there. We'll close out here, but in verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that doeth good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of person with God. Either one of them, Jew or Gentile, if they want it, God's able to get it to them. The best thing you can do is trust Jesus Christ. And that's you know, people talk about good deeds and things like that. The best thing you do is come to Jesus. Why? Because anything outside of that is no good anyway. And man, thank God for the Lord. Thank God we've came to Him. And I tell you something, more I read that Bible, I thank God, thank you for sending me the gospel. Thank you that some faithful preacher preached the gospel. And I tell you what, man, and mama's sitting right, man, I was so scared. I didn't want to go to hell. And thank God I don't ever have to either.
Amen.
I thank God, man, I tell you, I'll try to my best to thank Him from now forever.
That's right.
And y'all, that's what we ought to do. I'd be grateful for what He's done for
that's
us.
That's right.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Daddy, if you close us out, please.
Hey, Father God, come to you in closing.